For the past several weeks, we have been talking about a number of the one another passages in the New Testament. And there's two things that I hope you've noticed about these. First of all, they all grow out of loving one another. You can't do any of the others unless you get that one down first. The second thing is, in order to carry out these one another passages, we must know one another. Every one of them has brought that out. And so the combination of loving each other and knowing each other provides the foundation on which our relationships are going to rest. This morning, I want us to talk more about the second of those ideas, the idea of knowing one another. Because God has put a command within the Bible to help us in that regard. And that's the command to show hospitality to one another. This oftentimes is a rather difficult topic because as Christians, we have a very warm feeling toward each other. We're kindred spirits in the faith. We share the love of the same God. But sometimes that's where we allow it to stop. And rather than allowing that relationship to grow, we're content to stay settled with that warm feeling. Rather than allowing it to grow into the genuine relationship that we need to have with each other. So this morning, I'd like for us to talk about this command, this idea of showing hospitality to each other, to talk about what God means, and then get into some very practical ways that we can implement this command. But let's begin with what the Lord's talking about. When He talks about the idea of showing hospitality, what does He mean by that, and to whom is He expecting us to show hospitality? If we look at the original meaning of the word, the word that the apostles would have used, the actual or literal meaning of that was the love of strangers. And we find throughout the New Testament that idea being so present that a Christian is to have a love for those to whom he does not know, who he hasn't made an acquaintance. In fact, we find that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, when he says, let brotherly love continue. Now note here with the command to show hospitality. He says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Of course, this is a reference back to the days of Abraham, when Abraham received visitors, not knowing who they were, not knowing that these visitors were from heaven. Because of that, it was a good testimony to him. He allowed his hospitality to be shown with his home opened and ready. And the writer here says we need to have the same when it comes to strangers. That should be no real surprise to us. Because as we look throughout the entire Old Testament, we find that idea very much. In fact, note with me in Leviticus chapter 19. When the Lord says to His people, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The people of Israel had several groups that they were reminded of on a very regular basis to take care of. And one of those was strangers. And the Lord says, this is the reason for it, because you were once in that situation. You knew what it meant to be a stranger. You knew what it meant to be amongst people who were not like you. And so He says to His people, you are not to treat anyone in such a way to make them feel left out. That's an interesting thought when we think about the Lord Himself. In fact, I hope perhaps at a later date to bring some thoughts maybe along the lines of the hospitable Lord. Because throughout the Bible, we find the Lord very much being the host, very much offering hospitality. But for now, we're content to understand that this is something that God has expected of His people, both in days of old and in the present day. So the question might be then, where are we going to show this love for strangers? Where are the opportunities? And oftentimes when we ask questions like this, we miss what's very much present. There are many occasions when our very assemblies allow this opportunity. A congregation like the one here at Gooch Lane, located in a place where there is a lot of movement going on in the business world. It's not unusual that we have visitors who come. And many times these visitors are fellow Christians, sometimes not. But in either case, it's the opportunity that we show that hospitality, the interest, the concern, the help that's to be given to someone who is not familiar with the setting. And so very often we can show that hospitality in its literal definition, the love of strangers, right here in our own assemblies. But I think also we can see that in day-to-day activities. I realize we live in a time where perhaps it's not the wisest decision to stop and pick up a hitchhiker. It's not the wisest decision perhaps to be alone with someone who you don't know. However, that does not negate the fact that we can help others. And there are many occasions, perhaps at work, perhaps just in our day-to-day lives, where we come across people who are very much in need of hospitality, who are very much in need of help. And we can find ways. We can help people in that regard. And that's what the Lord expects of us. He's not talking about earth-shattering events. He's not talking about creating some kind of new work. What He's saying is every day, as you have opportunity with those who you don't know, show that love for them. Treat them as the Lord would treat them. And in that, we'll carry out His command. But for our purposes this morning, I'd like for us now to focus in on the second part of this idea, and that's hospitality shown to one another. When we come to the book of 1 Peter, as we heard read this morning in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4, Peter says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. There have been occasions where Christians have said, well, now the word literally means showing love to strangers. So the idea of having each other over in our homes and such, that's not really hospitality. Yes, it is. People who have that idea have completely missed the point of 1 Peter 4. What Peter does is he takes the word that literally means love of strangers, and he says to us, if you show it to people who you don't know, how much more should you show hospitality to those who you do know? And this passage makes it very clear that we have the duty one to another to show hospitality. We have the duty one to another to let this be seen in our lives. So let's talk about this for a minute. It should be of no surprise to us when we come to this passage that Peter begins it with the concept of loving one another. Did you notice that in the first part? As we read there, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. That's where the idea of hospitality is built. And so once again, as we have seen in every one another passage, you must lay the foundation of love first. That's where all of this is going to come from. And with that being said, and with that being noted, we understand then that hospitality is a concrete way of showing love for one another. Someone says, well, I love my brethren, but never shows hospitality. I think that casts doubt. Because what Peter is saying, this is how it's seen. This is how it's realized. That's how we love each other. And perhaps it's good for us to understand that this is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is not something the Lord says, if you've got time, it's a good idea. No, what the Lord says, it is a command from Him. And we understand that in specific situations. In fact, there's two occasions, at least in the New Testament, where this is given as a, quote, qualification. We know that in the first century especially, but would even be the case now if the situation arose, that a widow might have no livelihood. She's a Christian, she's got on up in years, she doesn't have any kind of livelihood and may have to fall under the protection of the church to care for her needs. That's a very limited time. And the apostle limits it even further when he says she's got to bear these qualities. But I want you to note what one of those qualities is. Let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. Now you take all of that together, And what the apostle is saying is, the only time a widow in need is to be brought under the care of a congregation is when she is godly. When she has exhibited the qualities of a woman who is first devoted to God and secondly devoted to her spiritual family. But in the midst of all of these, very specifically, the apostle says, for her to be able to be taken care of in this way, she must be hospitable. The second of those specifics is with the elders. As the apostle lays out the quality of elders, we won't go through the whole list, but note the beginning here, where he says, therefore an overseer or an elder must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable. Why? An elder must know the flock. If an elder is going to exercise oversight, if he is going to shepherd, if he is going to be the leader, he must know who he's leading. And any man who has ever served in the capacity of elder, I'm sure, would agree, that is not going to happen in an assembly like this. You're not going to learn the needs of someone. You're not going to learn the concerns of someone. You're not going to learn the worries of someone. Therefore, an elder's home very much has a revolving door on the front, open doors where people are welcome whenever that time is needed. That's a specific. But yet we understand that just as these things are given in specifics, they're also given in general for all of us. The command is no less for you and I than it is for a widow who is in need or for a man who's serving as an elder. In fact, we think about Matthew 25:38, where Jesus is picturing this scene of judgment with those who have done the right and those who have done the wrong. They ask him and they say, when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And so Jesus turns to the faithful and he answered them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. There's our original concept of hospitality. Lord, when did we see you a stranger? He says, when you did it to the least of my brethren. That's when you showed love to me. That's when you showed hospitality to me. And I want you to note that these people were so busy doing good, it was so much a part of their way of life, it was just as though this was second nature. They didn't say, oh yes, Lord, I remember. I believe it was on September 15th of last year that I saw this stranger. No, it was so much a part of their lives that they were doing it in every occasion. And we bring it even more specific with the passage that we just cited. Here where Peter says to show hospitality to one another. This is a command that is for us. And I want us to understand that this is not a command that is given to establish quotas. I have had X number of people in my house, therefore I have done what the Lord has said. That's not the idea at all. The idea is what we were referring to in the statement of Jesus. It's the idea that we are becoming hospitable in nature. That hospitality becomes a part of us. That we are a people who understand this is a command, but much more than a command, this is an opportunity to do good for others. And as Christians, that is exactly what we're seeking to do. And so Peter tells us on behalf of the Lord, here is what I want you to be. I want you to be hospitable in nature. But Peter goes a step further. And he says, I want you to do it without grumbling. Showing hospitality is work. Showing hospitality takes effort. And wherever there is work and effort, grumbling may be in the crowd. I imagine most of us would stand accused when we talk about our jobs on the day-to-day side of things that we've probably done our share of grumbling, haven't we? Maybe it's we don't want to get up this morning. Maybe there's something we're dreading at work. Maybe there's somebody who's causing us trouble. Peter says don't do that when it comes to hospitality. When he says you have the opportunity to be like God, when you have the opportunity to help your brethren, when you've got the opportunity to do good to men, do it without grumbling. Because after all, this is a part of our stewardship for God. God has blessed us beyond measure. God has given us homes. God's given us plenty to eat. God has given us opportunities. And we should freely take those. And we should use them for His glory. So with that in mind, what then are the benefits of hospitality? As we think about the actual carrying out of this command, what's the benefit for us? Well, first of all, and I think we as a group will appreciate this, we understand that it's a way of practicing what we profess. The whole dynamic of what we are as a congregation is this. We want to worship God in the way God has directed us to worship Him as given in the New Testament. That's why we call ourselves New Testament Christians. Some people would say we are primitivist in that regard. We're going back to the beginning. We're trying to focus and do what they were doing in the first days of Christianity. Well, if that indeed is our motto and our mantra, then what that means is we better be showing hospitality. Because look what was happening at the very beginning. In Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 46, day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. I realize it was an unusual situation. People were there from all over the place. They were there not planning on staying a while. They had been introduced to Christianity and they didn't want to leave their brotherhood. But what I want to focus in on is the attitude. Here were people who were generous and who were glad. If I want to be a New Testament Christian, this is a part of it. If I want to be a New Testament Christian, it's the idea that I have that same kind of spirit. I think about Lydia in her dealings with the Apostle Paul. She becomes a Christian. And it says, after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And I love the last part of that. And she prevailed upon us. Can't you picture the situation? Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's saying, Lydia, do you know all I've got to do? I've got people to preach to and letters to write. And the whole time, she's not taking no for an answer. Why? She was hospitable. Why? Because she saw the benefits of having this Christian in her home. She saw the benefits of the Apostle Paul being there. And then who I believe perhaps is one of the most godly couples we could ever imagine. Acts chapter 18 and verse 2. He found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. Aquila and Priscilla had open doors. There were times when churches had to meet in their house. There were times when they were welcoming the Apostle Paul in. What are we saying then? Well, if I'm going to go to the book of Acts and I'm going to say, here is the pattern for salvation. I've also got to go to the book of Acts and say, here is the pattern for being hospitable. And it's the idea that I'm doing it generously and gladly and openly. And perhaps for brethren who are a little timid about that, I'm prevailing upon them because I see the good that can be done in that. We understand then that that's what New Testament Christians did. And a whole big part of that was this. Not only do we practice what we profess, we come to understand one another much better. There's a man by the name of Robert Owen who had a line in history that's been modified just a bit. Perhaps you've heard it. He said, all the world is strange except me and thee, and I'm not so sure about thee. We hear that and we realize there are times when we just don't understand people very well. And a lack of understanding can many times create suspicions that really don't need to be there. So what do? We show hospitality. And that'll aid us in the times of difficulty. I want to go back to a couple of ideas we've explored in previous weeks. Let me take us back, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 4. When the apostle says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let me ask you, who do you have the easiest time excusing? Somebody you know really well or somebody you don't know? When you know what makes somebody tick, when you know their personality, when you know their foibles, when you know their quirks, there are times when things that might otherwise cause great offense are just simply let go. That's what hospitality can do. We think about sitting across from one another at a dinner table. We think about sitting with each other, watching a fire dying slowly in the fireplace, or maybe in the summer out with a little fire in the yard, and what precious times those are. Because here is the time when we allow the guards to come down and the barriers to come down and to discuss the things that are on our minds. No pretense. No putting on a facade. Here's how we learn how to be kind to one another. Concretely. Specifically. And we take that a step further. And when a brother is in sin, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. That's what we talked about just a week or so back. These things which many times we have no idea what they are, when we are hospitable, we learn those things. And we bear those burdens. And that's the benefit that hospitality can bring that I will never know in this auditorium. Let me add this also. A benefit of hospitality is that it's going to make discipline functional. We know that God is serious about walking the straight and narrow. And He has told churches that if there is a part of your group, a member of your group, who is not walking as they should, there's action that needs to be taken. And when we get to the quote nuclear option here, the apostle says, I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. There's a lot of folks today that say that just doesn't work anymore. I agree. It doesn't work anymore. But let me put an asterisk by it. It doesn't work anymore when we're not practicing New Testament hospitality. So here is this brother in Christ, and he goes out and he gets himself involved in all manner of wickedness. He's running around on his wife, and he's cheating at work, and you know, all these different things, and the congregation says, well, we're duty bound to take action. And so a letter is read. And that's about the only difference there is. Because nobody was having this brother over beforehand. This brother wasn't eating with anyone beforehand. And so now that this has happened and the congregation's told don't have anything to do with him till he changes, there's no difference. And if there is no difference, it's not going to work. Let me make it clear, I'm not saying practice hospitality so we can show discipline to a brother. That's not the point. What I'm saying is when we miss something that God is showing us to do, it's going to have consequences on down the line. And there's many churches today now who will say, since discipline does not work, we're not going to exercise at all. It's making the matter even worse. Well, let's back up. Perhaps if the proper hospitality is shown, the brother never gets involved in sin in the first place. Perhaps if proper hospitality is shown, the brother is being built up and edified, and he's bearing his burdens, and he's saying to someone who's a really good friend now, you know, when I'm at work, I have this really big temptation to take things that don't belong to me. And here is then the opportunity for another brother to say, well, here's how we need to deal with that. That's what hospitality can do. People who research such things tell us that the only time corporal discipline is effective is when it's shown by someone who the person being disciplined, we're speaking of, when it's shown by someone who really, really loves that person and who that person loves in return. And that's why on so many occasions, a child is there and he's done something wrong and a parent can just kind of nod his head and say, I'm just so disappointed. And the child will fall apart. Why? He's let down somebody important. And the same is true for a brother. When there is a relationship there, that's what we must do. Well, how do we put all of this into practice? How is it that we take this command from the abstract, from, yeah, this is something that a Christian ought to do, to something that we are doing? Well, I'm going to give you some really wise words here. You've waited all day for this. How about this? Just do it. Isn't that how we get things accomplished? We fix our mind on it and we say, I'm just going to get it done, and we do it. Something that's always in the distance, something that we're going to get around to, never takes place. And I may sound a bit contradictory because earlier I said this is not to establish quotas, but maybe as we get the training wheels on, that's what we need to do at first. I'm going to have one family from the congregation over every month. Now, that's not a hard task to do. But we allow that then to build. And we're allowing times to do good, and we understand that yes, it does take work. But we understand that it's first setting the goals. I want to take you to a passage in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, where Paul says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That's the ESV. Let's do a little comparison here. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality. What is that passage bringing out? It's a present tense. It's always happening. It's not the idea that we spoke of earlier, well, I've got my quota in by May, I'm off from June to December now. It's the idea that it's a part of my nature, and that's what I'm seeking to get to. And though it may have to start with baby steps, it should lead into the idea that this is who I am. And we need to understand that perfection is not required. If your house is not the nicest house, that's okay. If your furniture is not the nicest furniture, that's all right. If your fine china is made by Corel and your stemware is plastic and from McDonald's, it's okay. Because it's not about the house. It's not about the furniture. It's not about the place setting. It's about what you're doing. It's about the good that's being accomplished. And I tell you, in my work in preaching, typically in meetings, brethren like to show hospitality. I have eaten in some really nice houses. And I've eaten in some very plain houses. But the common bond is always there. It's not the surroundings. It's who we are. We're Christians. We're learning each other. Doesn't require perfection, but it does require time. And so as with all of these things, it means that we are clearing our schedules and we are saying for the things that are most important, I will find the time. Let me also add, include everybody. The Lord warned us about this a bit, and He said, you know, when you show hospitality, don't just stick with your circle. That's the easy ones, right? The people who like to talk, Andy Griffith, and like to talk, things like that. We're going to spend hours. Those are the easy ones. What about the brother you don't know too well? For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If we've got our little huddle, our little circle, and those are the only people we ever communicate with, only people we ever show hospitality, we're not getting the point. And so the Lord says, include everyone, and might I add, those who oftentimes slip through the cracks. Those who oftentimes go unnoticed. Those who have been missing from the assembly a while, and somebody mentions their name, and you say, you know, now that you mention it, why? Because we hadn't realized it before. Those are people in need, and perhaps the most need, because they may very well be in a spiritually desperate strait. And therefore, we understand the good that needs to be done. But most of all, the thing that should cause us to take this from abstract to reality is the remembrance that this is a work that we are doing for God. Why is that important? Because it helps us take our minds off personal inconveniences. If I realize this is something the Lord has told me to do, I am not quite so likely to say, well, that means I'm going to have to mow the yard, and I'm going to have to clean the house, and I'm going to have to prepare a meal, and I'm going to. We don't do that. Because we realize the blessings the Lord has given to us. And our spirit is willing. And it shows us that we can be like Him. Hospitality doesn't mean necessarily sharing a meal, although that's typically what we consider it. And I don't think that that's really a bad thing. You ever noticed anything about the Lord when He comes into the presence of others? Exodus chapter 24, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under His feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And He did not lay His hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. And then the strangest line. And they beheld God and ate and drank. We're not going to get into all of that, because that's pretty deep thought when we get into the Old Testament. But let me just surface here by saying, many times that's how God describes fellowship. The idea of sitting around that table together. And that's why King David would say in his very familiar 23rd Psalm, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You are the heavenly host. And as Jesus begged the church at Laodicea to come back to Him, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him. And He with me. That idea of eating, in a symbolic sense here, is the idea of the fellowship that we have with God. And I would encourage us to think about that as we consider our hospitality. Norman Rockwell could often say things in painting that no writer could ever write. And in this particular painting of his, he illustrated the warmness of the family table. Here's the family gathered together, and we know that to be a very special place, because in the physical family sense, without really ever even knowing it, this is where we draw close to each other. Because at the family table, you start unpacking the day, don't you? You start going through the day and all of these different things, and there's light chatter and there's deep thoughts. And it's kind of sad as family starts getting a little older, and one by one, those seats become empty. But what's happened in the process? Those empty seats are a reminder of all the times before that you were talking and planning and chatting and building, preparing. That's what the Lord's table of hospitality does. And that's what our table of hospitality will do also. And so I encourage all of us that this table of hospitality should remind us of what we enjoy with God, and therefore what we should be doing in His service.